Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Tony. I want to welcome you to the Lighthouse Team Ministries Bible Study. And I hope that you have a great, great day today. And I know that you will receive something from the Word this morning as we open and get into it. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we go into your Word, Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds so that we can gain in knowledge and in wisdom to be better equipped, Father, to help those that are walking in weakness and in darkness, and to help to bring them to light of knowing that they need their Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and not just do things on their own. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. Give us great enlightenment. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the first and second chapter of the first letter to Timothy. Now, Paul, you know, he considers Timothy as his spiritual son. All right, beginning here with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandments of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. we know that God is described as our Savior because he is the author of man's salvation. And Jesus is called our hope since he is the object and embodiment of our expectation. We know that he's talking about his own son here. Paul acknowledges Timothy to be a real believer in contrast to some whose Christian claims are spurious. Now, as we go to verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that they teach that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We covered that once already a few days back, if you remember, talking about no other doctrine. Well, here it is again. Well, he was giving it to a couple of others the last time, and now he's giving it here to Timothy. Now, 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. You know, we may read verses 3 and 4 as follows, that you might command certain people not to teach other doctrines, nor to give heed to myths and endless theologies. Timothy is to put an end to the teaching of false doctrines, which minister questions rather than godly edifying. Now, they promote useless speculations rather than God's work, and attention given to the circulating false doctrines, fables, and genealogies does not assist believers in carrying out responsibilities divinely entrusted to them that give rise to idle warriors. Now, as we go along here, we're seeing where evidently there's been a lot of teaching going on in these churches that has not been right, just like it's going on in some of ours today. In fact, quite a few of ours today are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of Almighty God. 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfringed. This verse as follows, but the goal of this command is love from a pure heart and from a clear conscience and from genuine faith. The goal of Timothy's command of forbidding false teaching is not all negative. Its positive aim is to bring about true love in Christians. And, you know, we can note the spiritual evolution here. Genuine faith in Christ produces a clear conscience. That is one clear of offenses before God by Jesus' atonement. This in turn leads to a pure heart that is a life free of sin. And this brings about love for God and others. Now, you know, in the New Testament, so many times, it is telling you to live your life without sin. Yet we have so many today and so many of our churches that are teaching that man cannot live without sin in his life. And that is contrary to what the Word of God tells us. Just as the Word of God tells you and I that we have to be reborn. And unless we are reborn, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's all in God's Word. Now, we're also told, you find it in 1 John 3rd chapter, where when we are reborn, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we cannot sin because we are born of God. Does that mean that we're not going to make mistakes? No. So we're talking about mistakes and not sin that's against us. Because you see, we don't know all of this word. But as we study and as we learn, we will learn things that we are doing or have done a time or two that we shouldn't be, but we didn't know it. God does not count that as sin. It is an error, but we still ask him for forgiveness for that. And we are forgiven. And then, once we know it, we don't do it again. But we do it again after knowing that it's sin. We're in trouble. That's why we're told in God's Word that straight and narrow is the way, and few be there that find it, because they accept all of these teachings that are contrary to the Word of God. And they really don't walk in the truth of God's Word. Now, they're more concerned with the false teaching. All right, verse 6. From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. This vain jangling. Now, from which refers to verse 5, pure heart, clear conscience, and faith unfringed, because heretics have swerved or deviated from these practical virtues of daily living. They have turned aside unto vain jangling, fruitless discussions, Such talk is profitless because it distracts progress. Now, you see, that's why we have to be very careful and walk according to the truth that's in God's Word and not what a lot of mankind is teaching today. All right, 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Now, 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. But most of mankind don't. 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. You know, that's an awful lot there in those two verses. The law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not valid for a righteous person. It implies that the heretic, verses 6 and 7, are misusing the law, trying to improve on it. And the Christian properly used the law benefits unbelievers in pointing out their sin and leading them to Christ. And the lawless are criminals. The disobedient are and leading them to Christ. The lawless are criminals. The disobedient are the rebellious, the ungodly, godless that is showing no reverence for God. Sinners are those failing to measure up to divine standards, and the unholy are impure. Profane means defiling sacred things. Whoremongers are fornicators, them that defile themselves with mankind are homosexuals. Men stealers are kidnappers. Sound doctrine, healthy teaching, the Bible properly taught, is a sort of spiritual medicine that heals man's diseased moral nature, making him spiritually and ethically sound and healthy. Now, you see, there's a lot there in those two verses. 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, this glorious gospel of the blessed God means the gospel about the character of the blessed God. The law reveals man's sinful character, but the gospel discloses God's salvation from sin and from the law's curse. The blessed God, all blessings and happiness are in God, and he bestows them upon those embracing his gospel. Now, 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Christ provided all the enablement required so that Paul could fulfill his apostolic duties. And we know that is true because we have studied Paul's life all the way through now. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injured, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We know that Paul did all those things, persecuting the church and everything, taking men and women back, being jailed and killed because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had been raised under the law, and he thought he was doing God's work. But he wasn't. Now, 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This grace, which was exceedingly abundant, Christ, undeserved, outweighed Paul's previous sinful life with faith and love. God's grace brought about faith in Paul in contrast to his former unbelief, and it also produced love in him in contrast to his previous blasphemy, persecution, and violence to the church, which refers to faith. Paul's faith and trust is in Christ Jesus. Now we know, as we have come through this far through the New Testament, a whole lot about Paul, don't we? Now, here in 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So we know when he says chief that he is denoting a rank or degree. And Paul views himself as the foremost of sinners, of whom he is chief, or in other words, the worst. Now, that's the way he was looking at himself. But he also knows how he stands now with God. But he's talking about, here he's talking about his past life. Just as you and I, if you are a born-again child of God, you know what you were before you came to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of your sins and was forgiven and began the study of his word and growing in knowledge inward and growing in your life so you could stand with a clear conscience and a pure heart and loving the Lord our God in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we love them for what they did for each one of us and what they are still doing yet today, and giving them praise for that and for our life that we have today. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. We could read, pardon me, we could read the verse thus, but I obtained mercy for this reason, that in my case, as the worst sinner, Christ Jesus might demonstrate the fullness of patience as an example for those about to believe on him for eternal life. And Paul's conversion encourages other sinners. And since Christ has already saved the worst sinner, he can save those less sinful. This is all in Paul's writing. Think about that. Down to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And there in verse 17, he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He's talking about this charge here, or the commandment he gave him to forbid the teaching of false doctrines. And we know that the prophecies which went before on thee, the prophecies that pointed to you, these were divine revelations given through New Testament prophets, which pointed out to Paul that Timothy was to be his co-worker. Pardon me a moment. Now, see if I can get this so cleared up a little bit. We're just about finished here. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And faith is used in two different ways in this verse. The first, faith is subjective, referring to Timothy's personal trust or faith in God. Holding faith means that he is to maintain his confidence in God. The second faith is objective, referring to the body of revealed truth believed by the church. That is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The last half of verse 19 may be translated with a good conscience. Some, having repudiated, have become shipwrecked concerning the faith, because some rejected their inner moral voice of concern. They have strayed far from the truth of God into theological heresy. Often religious error has its roots in moral rather than intelligent causes. Now, here in our last verse of chapter 1 here, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Here in 20, the word he, Satan, I have delivered unto Satan, may signify that the two heretics mentioned were excommunicated from the church. And two, the supernatural infliction of corporal suffering are both. It can even mean both. To the end of chapter 1, we're not going to be able to go into chapter 2. So we'll be getting into that this evening. And we'll also be going into chapter 3. But chapter 2 is very, very short. It's only 15 verses. And most of them are small verses. But there is several things in there that today is causing a lot of controversy among those that are calling themselves Christians. And as I said, not willing, we'll be getting into that this evening at 6 p.m. So I pray that you will be with me during that time. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I close your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we give praise unto all for what has been done. As we walk by your grace and through and with the word of Almighty God. Father, be with us through this day. Keep us all in health and keep us safe, Father. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. I pray you have a good day and that you'll be back with me at 6 this evening, when we'll be back into the Word of Almighty God. Bye-bye now.